control of the German banking system and economy. What would follow were the years of a megalomaniac focused on creating the most powerful country in the world, comprised of the perfect race. The Holocaust, 1933-1945, was a horrific event, masterminded by Hitler and his legion of Nazi personnel, which led to the deaths of over 6 million Jewish people in Europe. A great level of methodology and planning went into devising the best possible way to exterminate the European Jewish population while at the same time keeping the mass of German civilians in the dark. In the early stages, Hitler authorized the use of the euthanasia hospitals, gas vans, and, after the start of Operation Barbarossa, the deployment of Einsatzgruppen, mobile killing squads. But after seeing the emotional and psychological toll that face-to-face killing was taking on the perpetrators, extermination camps that housed gassing chambers, with some capable of killing 2,000 people in 30 minutes, were introduced. Once all of Europe was embroiled in war, Hitler and the Nazis were able to begin killing the Jews on a mass scale because the majority of the continent was focused on the events surrounding them and not on the systematic elimination of the Jewish population. In 1939, Hitler was quoted as saying that after the war was won and Lebensraum, living space, was achieved, no one would ask about German actions. Who? He allegedly asked rhetorically, after all, speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians? In the historical context, the man was correct. Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass, on the night of 9 to 10 November 1938, took even the people of Germany by surprise when Nazi SA paramilitary units attacked Jewish businesses, synagogues, and people. The day after Kristallnacht, Hermann Göring told a conference audience, "The Jewish problem will reach its solution if, in any time soon, we are drawn into war beyond our border. Then it is obvious that we will have to manage a final account with the Jews. Holocaust history is about who killed the Jews, how and why it was done, but also the largely little-known ways the Jewish people fought to survive. Historians have largely overlooked this subject, except for a few notable exceptions. Overall, historical accounts of the survival tactics employed by the European Jewish population have been largely passed down through personal recollections from those involved. With these personal accounts, historians and readers have garnered a greater understanding of how the Jews put forth such a valiant effort to demonstrate to their German oppressors that they would not go quietly into the night. The actions that the Jews took to undermine their German oppressors went mostly unnoticed until the end of the war, and even then, the majority of what they performed was unknown for years after. It was much more difficult to have a fighting chance for survival in the early years of the war when the Einsatzgruppen were rounding up entire villages and executing their inhabitants in the forests outside towns, because at that point, the European Jewish population was unaware of the Germans' motives. It was in the ghettos, where the Germans had first consolidated the Jewish population of Poland beginning in late 1939, and other conquered areas in the summer of 1942, where Jewish resistors could form underground units and begin to explore ways to take the fight to the Germans on their terms. In the ghettos, Jews suffered extreme malnutrition, given the crush of people in such a confined location, mixed with the already crippling lack of food available. With a typhus epidemic in 1941 that spread through many of the ghettos, and which wiped out scores of people every day, the hospitals could not do much more than stand idly by. The director of ghetto health in the Warsaw ghetto believed the patients had two options. They could either die from starvation or typhus. When the living conditions became too much to endure, and with the help of the various underground organizations in the ghettos, uprisings began to break out during and following German liquidations. Even in locations where uprisings did not occur, thousands continued to find ways to survive their time in the ghettos and either break out and join partisan groups, or be transported to the next staging area, the concentration camps. In defiance, the Bielski partisans, Nekamatek illustrates how many individuals and small groups of Jews refused to be labeled as passive victims but rather joined forces both with each other and Soviet partisans to strike back at the Germans. She provides the reader with a fuller understanding